Hello, and welcome to Gravel Knits, a place to chat and have a few sips. Today is December 26th, 2022. Thanks for listening.
My name is Caitlin, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
I'm Brian, and I'm in the He, Him series.
And I'm Kelsey, and my pronouns are also she, her, and hers.
I'm Cole, and he, him.
All right, and welcome to the show. Today we have both Brian and Cole joining us, and we are going to have a few beers.
Yeah.
And on this week's episode, we have W beers, which we just so happened to end up with in Christmas presents.
Oh, perfect.
Yes. For the first one that we have today, it's called It's a Wonderful Pie from Brightside Ale Works, which is one of our local breweries here in Iowa. And it is a cherry pie pastry sour.
Cool. And thanks for sharing your Christmas presents with us.
Well, the cool thing, too, is I had picked up one of these the other day from the brewery when it was snowing. And then my sister, I don't know how much is going to... Then my sister ended up going into the brewery probably a couple hours ahead of me, actually.
Would we like to cheers?
Sure. Okay. I'd like to. Cheers to the sheep for their wool, the shepherds for their dedication.
And the sheepdogs.
And the beer that keeps the world happy.
Yay. You can cheers for real. I almost feel like it's a cherry raspberry at the end.
Maybe. But it's very tart.
Since we got to pour in glasses today, which is super cool, we can talk about the color. And I would say this has a bit of a reddish, pinkish hue to it.
I would definitely go as far as a strawberry red.
I love it.
It's sour. It's right up my alley. It's great.
Figured it would be. It's definitely one of their more sour beers lately, I think. Mm-hmm. It's really tasty.
I would say that this is not something I would call a sessionable beer. This would be like a one enjoy beer for me.
Well, for me, it might be a multiple.
For Brian, it might be two.
I probably have two.
Yeah. I do like this a lot, though, even though I'm not as much of a sour drinker. I describe the body as probably medium.
Let's see. Untapped says, pastry sour with cherry, cranberry, graham cracker, vanilla, and pie crust.
It's the cranberry. That's what I was calling
raspberry. Wow, there are only 23 check-ins. It's pretty small.
It's pretty special.
Mm-hmm.
Tastes like someone had a cherry pie and they just squished it and all the stuff that fell out of it went to the glass. That's what it tastes like.
With some carbonation.
It's a squished cherry pie.
Sorry, I might be coughing a little bit throughout this episode because we went on a bike ride.
And it was cold, and so then there's a whole cold air lung thing.
Which I'm sure we'll get into. But excellent. Thank you, Kelsey and Cole.
You're welcome.
So now that we have our beverages, Kelsey, how are you?
I'm cold. I am completely covered in warm hand knits, though, so that's not a big deal. I'll warm up eventually.
So cute.
We were biking earlier, and I did get sweaty, and I was fine while we were out there, but then the moment that I start evaporating, I get colder.
Yeah, for sure.
So drying off is key. Trying to think. I'm good. What else is new?
Okay, well, then we have to go into how cute you look right now, because she has got this gorgeous, like, deep royal blue hat on with beads. And then she has this cowl that I think she's got flipped double, and it's, like, all these beautiful, like, neon colors. And then she has her fun pants on.
I do. So on my head, I have a blue hat that's fun. And then this was a cowl that used minis, Advent minis.
Okay.
And then my pants, my knit pants that I love that are full of color. How else is, might as well keep warm in my hand knits, right?
I guess. Well, how was your Christmas?
Christmas is good. Actually, I think it was one of the better Christmases we've had in a number of years.
Definitely quietest.
Yes, definitely the quietest. We went up to my parents yesterday and had breakfast with my parents, just them. Before my sister and her family got there, and that was nice. Then we finally opened stockings and presents, And actually, it was pretty reasonable. Sometimes it can get kind of crazy and it's very loud, but you know, you have to kind of expect that a little bit. With most families with, you know, a 6-year-old and young people, it's quiet. Then my sister's family, my sister's family showed up and stockings, presents, and then we got to play outside and played a lot of Uno. Lots of Uno.
Fun. Yes.
Three kinds of Uno.
Uno.
What?
Should we play Dose?
No.
Oh.
We played Uno. We played Uno Attack, Uno Flips, and Uno Wilds. Nice. Yes. All three got given for Christmas. So that was,
I like it.
Yeah. It was fun, though. I enjoyed it. And then we went out and played in the yard. We had gotten 4 inches of snow the week prior. So there was plenty of snow for sledding and fat biking and playing around in. So I got to sled with my niece a little bit.
Aww.
And Cole went riding out, not just at my parents', but at a park near my parents', and then rode around the house to my parents' and down to the river.
Onto the river. About what?
I want to hear about it.
Tell about your ride a little bit.
I took off, and a couple miles away is a place called Peterson Pits. There's some mountain bike trails, and mostly it's more walking trails in all reality. I think most of the people walk there.
Walking. Horses are pretty popular, too.
I would say at this point, it's only walkers out there. But the trails were pretty beat in from walkers, which, if you're riding a fat bike, bounces you all over the place. And it was pretty thick snow, so first few laps of the mile loop was a bit rough, and then got a lot faster then.
And then, once he got back to the house, he rode down from the... My parents live at the top of a hill, and at the bottom of the hill is where the river is. And so he rode down from the top of the hill down to the river where we were all at.
It was cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I got to ride around on the river a little bit, too, which was the first time I'd done that. So that was kind of fun.
Neat.
Mm-hmm. We really need to start riding around my parents more often. I think that's pretty good. How are you guys?
We're good.
Good, yep. We went to Caitlin's family last week, which was exciting to start. Hit weather, we hit the east side of town and said, nope, turned right back around, came home and said, we'll try again tomorrow. And we did. And the next day was great. Went there and, around Chicago, so.
We had a really nice time with my family. We biked every day on our little foldable bike. And it's nice, they now have a bike path.
Oh, good.
Not on the street my parents are on, so we kind of have to like go down a little bit, maybe a half a mile, and then we can pop on that. So then it's like less like fighting cars and just ride.
Right.
So that's nice.
Really nice.
Yeah. I can't believe all the years I live, the street I live on is the same road as the high school. I just can't believe it took this long for that to happen. And I never really even thought about it. I could have biked to school, but there was never a sidewalk or anything.
Right.
And it's like a 35-mile-per-hour road that's like the main road through town. So
like, maybe not.
Yeah. And then we did Christmas with Brian's family yesterday, because this is the day after Christmas. And that was really fun, too. We spent almost the entire day at their house and had a wonderful lunch.
And then they started the morning with Riker woke up, and he said, it's Christmas time! And then he said, I was hiding with Santa. That was his dream. So he was hiding with Santa, and he woke up, and then we gave him his present, and it was a little handmade tied blanket thing
with little puppies on it.
Cute. So. I saw a picture that you guys shared of me making it.
It was fun. It was fun to make it together. And then when we woke up Riker, we both put on like
elf hats.
and then he like woke up really excited and wanted to look for Santa with me. So he held my hand and brought me downstairs to look for Santa.
Did you find Santa?
No, but we found his present. So. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was good. Kaylin got some fancy new biking boots. And Brian got me boots. And then she got me some warm clothes to wear. So it was great.
What kind of boots did you get?
Livet.
Well, I'm sure there's a French way of saying that, but...
Yeah.
Belvoir.
Which I think are the same brand as our gloves,
they
too.
Are. Yep.
Yeah.
Did they keep your feet warm today?
Mostly. I think under 11, it's just hard for me. And I think my circulation is not as great as everybody's.
Oh, that's fair.
I don't know. It just seems like my feet get cold so fast. But I really like them. And they do have, like, I can put clips in them, but I don't think I'm going to. But it's an option, so that's nice.
It's like my boots, I don't have my clips in them right now either. But yeah. They keep my feet warm.
I don't have clips because the bottom bracket of the fat bike is too wide, so it messes with my knees really bad if I'm clipped in.
Oh, yeah.
So with the flats, then my feet have lots of movement, so it doesn't bother them as much.
That makes sense. I really just like to be able to put my feet down. Get squiggly.
Yeah, I only clip on the road bike because I usually don't eat it super hard on that.
And then we also went to a Christmas party last night, and that was really fun too, just down the road.
Yeah, and my friend brought their little puppies. So there was a little, like, 8-week-old puppy that kept falling asleep on people, and it was very adorable.
Her name is Connie.
The puppy, yeah.
Thank you, Leah and Josh.
Yeah. And then they had two other dogs, and they're running around. They're little pug somethings, or?
Oh, one's a pug, and one's a Pomeranian. Fluffy dog. Cute little fluffy dog.
That was good. And then Rocky was running around and kept getting kisses by the dogs. And it was fun. It's like they had the adult table and like the kids table just all stood. Yeah. Anyone under 40 just stood just because. Not because there were chairs behind us, but we just stood.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was fun.
So I think that's our Christmas.
Yeah.
But I did rope Brian into this biking every day thing.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I just checked to see our totals, so I thought this was kind of cool. So I'm at 185 now, and Brian is at 80.
Keelan wrote me into when I bought my new e-bike. It's like, okay, when I get that, I'll have no more excuses to not, because then I want to be lazy about it, but then I can just use the turbo mode or whatever and still get miles in and be done with it quicker. It's like, okay.
But generally, when you use your e-bike, you're biking to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Which to gym for one, and then it's 5 miles each way, so it's still good.
And I'm usually running late, so I'm hitting it as hard as I can to get there before I'm late. Sometimes I make it, sometimes I'm late.
That happens.
But the thing can go up to like 33 miles an hour, and I can at least the limiter was set at something, and then I set the limiter a little bit higher. It can probably go faster, but that's all I need to go. That's all I feel comfortable going when I'm running late. Okay.
Okay. So I think we're on to announcements.
Well, I don't think we have a whole lot. We still have the Stash Challenge going on that runs through January 10th. So there may still be time by the time this episode gets out there. Any yarn that's purchased even from January 1st through January 10th does not count into your stash as in stash. And remember that all gift yarn, so any gift stash you now have, that does not count as well. Happy yarn!
Yeah, enjoy the gifts and enjoy your 2023 yarn purchases.
Yes. There has not been much of a change on the scoreboard. I know there are a few people that have entries that need to get updated, but other than that, we should be good. Shannon is still leading at almost a negative 25,000. And I am at the other end with 11,441. That's both meters.
Technically, I'm on the scoreboard because I made a hat.
Well, you didn't enter it.
Did you enter it?
That's a problem with your website. I don't know.
It's linked in the show notes and on our website if you would like to enter your points.
No, I shouldn't. I made that dang website.
You didn't make the form, though.
Yeah, Kelsey made the form. And I guess we should start talking about our quarter one for 2023?
Yes!
Was it just doing something new?
Yes, it was doing something new.
Yes, so quarter one. So the first 3 months of the year, your challenge is to do something new.
And that's all it is. So, get ready to do something new.
Hashtag GK Grow Now. GK GROWMAL.
Any other announcements?
I don't think so. I think that was the two things. Wrapping up our knit along and starting the next year.
Woohoo!
I think you're going to love the next part, though.
I did peek ahead a little bit. Caitlin, what have you been listening to?
Bottom bracket biking.
Yay!
And honestly, Kelsey can probably talk better to it than I can, but it is a, this is right on their, they don't really have a website, but on their summary page on like Apple or whatever podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast, it's a show for those who love to bike, but aren't planning on going pro anytime soon. Hosted by a Midwest couple who love mountain and gravel biking. And no, there are no mountains in Iowa.
And it's hosted by Anthony and Jen. It is unfortunately no longer being produced. It, you know, is one of those things where we like to talk about biking, or do we actually like to talk about, or do we actually like biking? A little 50-50 there, and so they've chosen the life of actually biking over talking about biking. But it's good for them.
Yeah.
It was good episodes. I thought a lot of times they did a lot of good times of reviewing gear. They would talk about, you know, what their favorite gear of the week was, or different tips about different things, whether it's mountain biking or gravel riding, or, you know, interviews with people.
Yeah, I've liked every episode I listened to. It's good information, enjoyable to listen to. So if you're looking for some good local information,
definitely recommend checking it out.
Yay! All right, Kelsey, what's brewing?
Let's see. I've definitely made some progress on my Azul Pullover. And that pattern is by Heidi May. I am almost done with the body of it. I have about 20 rows to go.
It's massive.
It is massive. It's massive. It's heavy. It's at the point where it's almost hard to knit because it's so big. But it's just the normal, like, average adult woman size. But it's so cozy. I'm using the colors Wales Road and Sherry Lane.
That sounds right.
I think. Oh, it's right here in front of me.
Yeah, she's looking at, like, at Cole, Rowe, like he knows. Sherry. Cole knows. Yeah.
Sometimes he knows these things.
It's actually Sharon.
And so that's Malabrigo Rasa, and it is, you know, big chunky yarn on size 13 needles. And I'd hoped to have it done in time for Christmas for my mother, but I've made it pretty close. She gave me the idea at Thanksgiving, so we're all good.
Christmas, yeah, 2023, fast.
Here we go.
Yeah, she'll get it this year, I think, though. I just need about 8 more inches on the back of it, and then the collar, and then some buttons. So there's that one.
Nice.
I'm not using a pattern for these. Kind of just roughly base it on the World Symbolist Mittens by Tin Can Knits.
Okay.
But I made my sister a pair of fingerless mitts that have a fleece liner on the inside.
Cool.
So that they actually have the Rowan brush fleece on the inside in a baby blue. And then it has the Debbie Bliss Cashmere Erin on the outside.
Nice.
So it's got very a double fancy layer. The one thing it's missing that I still have yet to do is that they're going to have a little flip top to be convertible mitts.
Okay, excellent.
So I'm going to pick up some stitches here and then it'll flip over the top.
And how did you put in the liner? Is that knitted?
It is actually knitted. Cool. So I knit the liner first.
Okay.
So I knit the liner first and then I did I started with a provisional cast on, knit the liner, then had the end stitches of the liner on waste yarn, knit the cuff, and then joined the liner and the cuff together, kind of double stitched them together, and then knit towards the top of the fingers, and then knit those together.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It was fun. It's been really fun to do these. My sister kind of, I was like, why do you not wear the stuff I make you? Well, you can't make something that has fleece lined and is thick and, oh yeah, watch me. So it was kind of like, hey, I can do this, just you see.
So, yeah. Girl.
So those are pretty much done. They just need the convertible mitt part because I gave her the option.
Yeah, that's so handy. I think that's really cool to add that on. If I say so myself.
Yeah. Then I think the last one I'm going to talk about, because I really haven't, most of the things I've finished up on, I'm working on socks still. That's what's in my hands today. Well, I guess that's as far as I have to say about knitting. So this is still my Christmas sock with that Jamison and Smith, and it's the CPCTC sock by Sarah Jordan. Congruent parts of congruent triangles must be congruent. And heel actually fits me really, really well.
Nice.
So I'm excited about that. And I definitely had to end it a little bit earlier than I normally would of my regular heel, but works out pretty well. I think anything else I'll talk about in Stash and Has Pins.
Okay. Excellent. I have a Christmas cast on. Ooh. Which is actually hanging out right here. I can't do color work and talk at the same time. So I am making Riker a Iron Man hat because he loves Iron Man.
Oh, yay!
So you can possibly see the bottom half of Iron Man. And then, like, little, there's like a little shield next to him.
That's cool.
Iron Man / Captain America, or Captain America, as
it says. Captain America.
So this pattern is the superhero Civil War hat. So it's got both sides. And the other side is more Captain America based. And this one is more Iron Man based. By Miss Ludic. Thing to note, though, I tried to look for her Facebook and her website, and her website definitely has a virus on it. Like, if you click on it, there's a window and it wants to download. So if you want, unfortunately, the only place I can find the pattern is on Ravelry. So it's on there. But that's why I'm not linking it on Instagram, because I don't want anyone to go.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I saw it pop up, I'm like, hey, husband, what do you think of this? He's like, yeah, definitely a virus. I'm like, yeah, okay. So it's a really neat hat. I think all the patterns I looked at by this designer were in 2016. So it's probably something that popped in after and they're not aware of it. But I really love the hat. I love the way the pattern's been super clear, and I think Riker's going to like it.
When you said the two sides, is it double-sided or
Sorry. From Avengers. There was a movie, Civil War. It was between Iron Man and Captain America, and basically all the Avengers picked a side.
Oh, okay.
And they battled each other. So that's what I mean by the two sides. So I'm doing the Iron Man side, and then there's also a Captain American
hat.
Side.
Yeah, yes. Separate
hat. Two separate hats.
Okay.
But they're both together on the same link. But I love it. But I did want to warn everybody about that, as much as that kind of stinks. But I'm excited about the pattern. And I picked up Frog and Toad.
Yay! It's been a while.
It has. And so Frog is basically finished, but I had to put his eyes in. And that's the part that, like, makes me nervous, because it's not a steek, but you have to cut a stitch and then kind of unravel it and knit to get his eyelids. And then you make separate, like, eyes and sew them in. And I have not sewn the eyes in, but I have done the scary part of cutting the stitch and making
eyelids.
How did
that go?
Good. It went pretty good. I put a bunch of, what is it called? That glue stuff to, like,
fray check?
Yeah, fray check. I put some of that on there because I was like, I'm not sure if I've caught every end. So hopefully that'll help. And that's kind of where I let it stay because I wanted that to dry before I did anymore.
It was nerve-wracking. I was sitting next to her the whole time. She goes, no. And it's just, true. Okay. Well, no. Okay. Yes. Okay. It's fine. So it was nerve-wracking.
Yeah. I on one side, I unraveled it, but then I also grabbed the next row, so I had to, like, kind of, like, re-put it back. Like, I pulled, like, because it's just supposed to be a row four,
sure.
And then I did the ones above it, too, and so I had to, like, and as Brian says, it was entertaining.
At least someone found it entertaining.
And I have been working on the Meg and Jane hat. I am almost to the decreases, so I'm really excited
about
that.
You are flying.
Yeah, the second part of this hat, I don't know, it's been going. So thank you. And that's with Earth Yarns, which is just, they're just very different yarn than I've worked with before. It's merino, but it's like, there's a lot of strands.
Yes, 8 strands almost. And it's not plied very tightly.
Yes. So it's just, I love it. It's just different. It's kind of cool. So that's what I got. Do we all move on to FOs?
Sure. I can talk about my first one. And I unfortunately don't have it here. I sent it off to its recipient.
Yay! But so that's exciting for them.
I finished the bat hat.
Oh, this is so cool.
It was such a fun project. It has multiple different parts to it. So when you look at the hat, you think it's quite fiddly. It's quite intense. There's a lot of parts to it. But you actually end up knitting the base of the hat. So like the regular hat, the cuff and the hat, like just like you would knit a regular hat. But then you knit the bat wings and the bat body, and then you start attaching all the little fingers to it. It was a lot of fun. So it's got eyes and all the fingers to it, and a tail and legs and everything. And that's by Joan Rowe. I don't know of a website. I just found it on Ravelry. I had someone actually request this hat for their partner, who is a bat biologist.
Oh, cool.
So I'm very excited to see how she likes the hat. Unfortunately, I don't know if I made it in time for Christmas due to the snow.
It's a really neat hat. It's such a neat gift to think of for your partner, too.
Right? And I thought that was the coolest
like
part.
Like to go through and commission something. Like, that's really neat. Oh, that's such a good story.
That made me very happy. He's a family member, but at the same time, you know, he was requesting it like anybody would.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used Matlintosh Twist Light on the hat. And it is a very pretty color. It kind of reminds me of the Northern Lights a little bit. I used the colors Dolly and a One of a Kind. But I would say it looks like Northern Lights. They worked really well together.
Excellent. That was so cute.
I know. I had so much fun with it. I thought I was not going to like it. And I will say it was very fiddly. And the directions weren't super clear.
Oh.
Because it has multiple parts to the head, but it doesn't really tell you what part of the head and what direction it's going to go, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But eventually I figured it out. And I use little beads for the eyes so it looks looking at you and everything.
Aw.
I think that's my only finished object.
Nice. Well, I'll one-up you, but also not, because mine were very teeny. But Kino Knits had, like, a Christmas sale, and I was like, what do I not have of Kino Knits that I can buy? Because she always has, like, a Christmas sale or promotion, and this year it was, like, a pattern for half off or something, or free, I don't remember. It was a great deal, though. Be on her newsletter. She's awesome. But I came across this one, which is actually free. I just hadn't noticed it before. It's called Ribka. It is also known as Wee Fishy.
Oh.
And it's just a cute little fish. And I was like, I just want to make this. And then I was like, you know, I don't have a gift for my friend Laura yet. She is someone that I run races with and I've known my whole life. So I made her one in Christmas colors. And then my mom really liked it. So when we were home, I made her one too. And hers is pink.
Thanks.
And they're both minis. One's a Matlintosh and the other one, I didn't have a label for it. I know I bought it from the yarn store, but...
Is it the red and Christmas-colored one? I think that's a Brew City one.
Yeah!
Her Christmas colors.
How? Yes. I knew that somehow. Thank you for telling me that. Now I can remake a label so I remember. As in, I'm going to tape a post-it note to it.
There you go.
Yeah, super fun. Very clear pattern, like... Went as far as, like, this is when I would stuff this part, and this is when I would do this, and just super clear pattern, and they're super cute, and they're just cute little ornaments. So they made me happy.
You were quite cute.
Thank you. What's hopping, Kelsey?
Let's see here.
Our husbands are so excited right now. I know. Are you guys thirsty?
Is it time for another beer? I mean, Cole says yes. I would say okay. Yes. I think we're good. Yay, our next beer is here, and it's called Santa's Choice.
Which is also from Brightside.
It is. You want to open it closer to you.
And it's a cookie stout.
Ooh. That sounds like it's right up my alley.
It is. It is definitely up the Caitlin alley.
And.
Oh, look at that.
We went to 515 a couple days ago for
the 515 Brewery
for Festivus, and they had a horchata stout. And it was fantastic.
We were there the other night. Kelsey was selling a bit of her knitwares. And we were talking to Barb, the brewmaster there, and she was excited to come back in the next day and finish off that one.
Oh, good, yeah. And she said she made it the horchata at home because they didn't have enough space at the brewery. Yep. And she tried to bike the horchata from their house to there, and she got about a half mile in the snow, and she said, man. Nope, and turned it right back around. And then just drove the rest of the way. Oh. It's like, hey, I'm not a stout dude, but man, it was it good. It was a beer milkshake, and yeah, if they had it in a crowler, I was like, we could get one of these, but they sold out at that time.
So I don't think it was ever an option.
Oh yeah,
no. It wasn't on the board as one.
No, she was just doing a singular one of it.
It was super fun though, and they had like a PowerPoint going of grievances.
Ah.
And then they were like, someone was responding to them, like. Can I respond to everyone's grievances about me? That's funny.
That's cool. Yeah. That is one. I've never made it there for that, but I would like to at some point.
It was busy.
Yeah, I think a lot of people couldn't travel, and so I think it made it more busy because it was, like, closer. Like, people couldn't... I don't know, that's...
It was the day after we had that blizzard, so everyone was cooped up, and we were the same way. We're like, we've been in this house for 48 hours. We got to get the heck out of here.
And the internet said it was warm enough for me to take my toddler, so I went. Anyway, sorry, back to this cookie stout.
Oh, did we not cheers this one?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, cheers.
Cheers!
This is lovely. It has almost some roastiness to it that I really like, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the roastiness came out a week or two after they put it out. Their beers generally end up getting put out very quickly because it's a nano brewery, so it's very small batches. So a lot of times they'll end up getting put out, and then about a week later they actually hit what their flavor is supposed to be. They're okay. A little bit green sometimes, but it's very tasty.
It's true. Like when this one was originally on, it was just like, I feel like it's missing just that smidge of something. But now you get even, like, the butteriness.
Oh, for sure.
And the sugariness. And, like, just that flavor of cookie crust.
I would say the beer color is very dark brown. I don't have a cooler word.
Definitely dark.
It definitely looks like definitely chocolate dark. Marshmallow sandwich cookie. Definitely won't use the O word, but, you know.
But Caitlin, great choice, guys.
Caitlin can't take the top off and give me her secondary cookie that she always gives me the extra cookie on Oreos.
Oh, yeah. So I take double stuffed Oreos and I undo them, and I took both the double stuffed sides that are left and put it together for a quadruple stuff, and then I give him the cookie.
Ah,
okay. That is how I eat Oreos.
Because the anecdote for that is years ago we were watching the Super Bowl and this commercial came on and a couple was having a tiny argument on saying, like, well, the cookie's the best part. No, the filling's the best part. No, the cookie. No, the filling. And we looked at each other like, this is the stupidest commercial ever. And then we both said, like, yeah, because we know what the best part is. Like, the cookie, the filling. No. No.
We literally reenacted the commercial.
And that's how we learned that I'm a cookie person. She is a, was it marshmallow?
Frosting. Pink,
frosting filling person. And that's how we learned that little trick. It's like, oh, no.
He just gets the whole Oreo.
Pretty much.
Score.
Nice.
Thank you so much for sharing this with us. It's really good.
Absolutely.
It's definitely a chocolate chip cookie with a nice, comforting, roasty feeling.
What's the name? Santa's Choice?
Santa's Choice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I get it.
Makes sense.
Santa's Choice. Yep. Cookies.
You mix that with eggnog. Ooh.
On that note, do we want to jump into what's happened?
Yes, let's go into what's happened. So I got a yarn adjacent enhancement this week. For Christmas, I got an Ashford e-spinner.
Yay!
I'm so excited about it.
It's so cool. Cool. Ooh. And she has some spinning on it.
I do have some spinning on it. I'm a little far away from an outlet, or I probably would have plugged it in.
We could have helped you with that. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. We'll deal with it later. I just really wanted to show it to you. It doesn't matter.
There's one right behind there.
And it's so, like, portable.
It is. It is very portable. It's fairly light. I got the Ashford. My parents got it for me for Christmas. And they kind of, I had told them I kind of wanted to get it originally. I was going to get it myself anyway. And then they went ahead and got it for me. So they got it for me for Christmas, and I've already been playing on it a little bit. I'm on to my second bobbin. Unfortunately left the one project I had started at my parents. So they have a batch of fiber sitting at their house. Get it later this week. But I started a second project now that's got some shiny roll eggs on it that are all in rainbow sparkles. Colors.
Yep.
So I get to skin the rainbow.
I feel like I remember when you bought that.
Yep. I bought that sometime last year, I think.
Yeah. That's exciting.
I was very excited to finally spin it. I felt like this was an appropriate place to spin it.
Yay. So are you going to spin each one and then, like, chain ply? Or what's your master plan?
I am going to chain ply, but I'm going to spin them into mini skeins.
Okay.
There is a hat I want to do. It's called Rain Brioche. It is a brioche hat. And that is by Katrin Schubert. And it's a brioche knit hat. And it's got like five different colors of the rainbow. So I'm going to use those. It alternates the colors. So it has like a base color. And then it uses several minis in a DK weight.
Perfect.
I'm not quite sure what I'm going to use for the main color of it yet. But I will come up with something. And darn if I have to spin something to go with it. Oh boy. Shucks. Because I actually just got a friend of mine sent me some processed camel and alpaca that they had that they got for free.
What?
So she just is like, you want some? And I'm very thankful. And at some point she'll get some of them back. But yay, I'm excited.
Me too. And it's so, like, when you have the rate, like, you have so many fun ways you could partner those colors.
Exactly. Whether they're all together or separate, you know, if they end up being six different little mini skeins, then that's fine too. In addition, my mom also got me a couple of skeins of Malabrigo Rio sock weight.
Yes.
Or not, I guess not Malabrigo Rio sock weight, but Malabrigo sock weight.
Yes.
And there are a couple books that she got of the Malabrigo patterns that she got to go along with those.
Oh, thanks, Mom. That's great.
She picked out two wonderful colors, too, like a maroon and like this cream that are right up my alley.
Perfect.
So that was exciting. I'm very excited about my spinning wheel.
It's really pretty.
I think there will be the instance where I play with this one some and my other one some. I think they're going to go hand in hand.
Nice.
But yes, I love it so far. I think that does it for my enhancements.
Those are awesome enhancements. I got some enhancements.
Ooh.
I finally got my bike.
Yay!
I'm so excited. I love it. And so the whole time I'm like saving for the bike and it like hasn't arrived yet. And it was supposed to arrive in November and then it got like stuck in customs. So it finally got here at some point in December.
It was like the week after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because it was supposed to be here the day before Thanksgiving. And then it got held up in Canadian customs.
Well, it kept getting held up.
Yes.
So did it ship from Canada?
Yes.
Is it a Canadian? Okay.
Yeah, it's Canadian company.
I didn't realize. That's cool.
Yeah.
And it oddly isn't really officially the one that was ordered for me. Like, that one still was delayed, but then had the order that he ordered 2 weeks later came first. So.
Oh, wow.
That worked. But it is a black bike with sparkles.
Yay.
It has sparkles in the paint. So that's pretty fun. And I just knew that I wanted that bike, and we didn't know what color it was going to be. And then at one point, he's like, it might be black, might be silver. I'm like, okay. And then Leah bought me some purple pedals for it, and so Brian put those on. And I have a purple bell, but I haven't put that on yet.
It's very pretty purple. Those are pretty pedals.
Thank you. And I've ridden it a little bit. I really like it, and I like it's a pedal-assisted e-bike, so you still have to pedal to get it to go, and it's got a lot of power when I want a lot of power, but it also has modes that are pretty normal to kind of just be like you're biking. And the main purpose of the bike is for like commuting to work and being able to commute in all types of weather, which is kind of scary to me, but I'm going to try. And then I got two yarn bowls this year.
Two.
So Jerry from the bike shop, he made me one.
That's cool. Wow.
It totally surprised me and made me a yarn bowl.
That's awesome.
Making use of his big shop there.
Yeah. It's mainly because he was impressed that she always knits at the bar or the restaurant, wherever we go after our bike ride. He's like, yeah, she'll do it at the bar. She'll just do it right there.
The knitting's pretty portable.
Just do it anyway.
He's like, you can keep it in your bike bag now, and then you'll keep your ball in the right place. And...
aww, that's thoughtful. That's very thoughtful.
I'm pretty sure I turned, like, red when he gave it to me. So kind. And then Tom and Janet, Brian's parents, got me a giant yarn bowl.
Is it that? Oh, wow.
The blue and purple one. It's giant, and it's so heavy, and I love it. Because then, like, I don't worry when I'm pulling the yarn. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah. This thing's not going anywhere. And it's my favorite color, and I love it. And so that was really cool, too. Am I forgetting anything?
Okay, then we're ready for our talk.
Okay.
So, what are we talking about today?
Yeah, the whole reason we made our husband sit here and drink beer with us, we're monsters, was because we wanted to talk a little bit about biking and maybe some winter biking and just kind of just let a conversation flow about that. So I could even start off with a question if we want, or if you guys wanted to start off with something that you feel passionate about with winter biking, we can do that too.
I would say start in a direction.
Okay.
I think everyone needs to have their wife set up a spreadsheet that is what you need to wear based on the temperature ranges, and then just ask her, hey babe, is it cold outside? And then she'll tell you, yes, it's in the 20s. You should wear this layer, this layer, this layer, this layer, this layer. Speaking of which, my wife has done set. Caitlin has done the spreadsheet.
Thank you.
Segway.
So I guess we're going into the clothing section first then.
Okay.
So let's start off with you can bike in what you have at home. You can.
Absolutely.
In most weather. So just keep that in mind. But we're going to give a kind of our favorite suggestions and go from there. But if you want a bike today and it's 11 degrees, you can find layers. You can make it work. I bet you can. We believe in you. So don't feel like you can't just because you don't have our favorite things. So why don't we start, Cole, what is your like favorite winter weather item that now that you have, you would not have again?
Just to go a little bit more on what you just said.
Yes, please.
I work outside all winter usually. I've been doing that for 20 years. Anytime we would have new people, I would tell them moisture wicking and windproof. Those are the two biggest, easiest things. And because windproof keeps the wind down, keeps it from getting you chilled. If you do get a little bit sweaty, you're still able to stay warm for the most part. That's where the moisture wicking comes in as well. But I would always tell people, because the first thing they would do is they would bring up some certain name brand article of clothing. And like, I don't want to spend $90 on a top. And I would tell them, I don't. I will buy a cheap top that's like $10, not $90. Because I can literally have 8 or 9 of them for the same price, and they do pretty much the same thing. Like, don't get me wrong, the nice stuff is nice for a reason, but you're also paying a lot for a name. So you can totally use the stuff that's already around or not go spend the major amount of money that can come into cycling clothing, specific cycling clothing. Me personally, I absolutely love my Perlizumi winter pants. I bought these, I think, 8 or 9 years ago.
No shit.
And I have beat them up. Like, I mean, I ride hard and a lot in the winter, and they are still perfectly fine. And I even talked to the company last year about them, and they're like, let us know if you ever have any issues with that. You can send them back to us and we will fix them for you. So that's probably one of my top pieces of equipment. The other one is good socks. Most thicker wool blend is pretty nice, but today I have the hollow alpaca socks on. They are just absolutely awesome. They're the little thicker boot cut socks, so they're a little warmer. They also have a lighter weight, like a mid weight, and I wear those through a variety of temperatures.
Nice.
And they're fuzzy and soft.
Yes, they are. And I have my own sets of those, and I love, love, love them. I need to get them out. They're in a box with some of my other knits, and I know exactly where they're at, so it's not like they've gotten lost. But my feet are ready for those.
And is there a... So someone getting into alpaca socks, is there a certain brand that...
Follow? Yeah. It used to be Follow Hollow, but then they changed the name to just Follow. I believe they're based out of Wisconsin area. One of the two owners is a very avid cyclist.
They've been great for response and are great with customer service.
Yeah, very, very quality product. And it wouldn't take too much to get one of the owners on the podcast, just saying.
Oh, we'd love to have them. That's a great idea. Back to layers. We've talked about our favorite pants, and you'd mentioned wind resistant. Still, this is only my second year into this. But what I try to do is, like, my base layer is one that's going to be moisture wicking. And then I put whatever number of layers I want. And then I put something on the outside that's going to be wind resistant. And that's kind of what I've been following.
I a lot of times have two wind resistant layers. And like I'll have my vest, wind resistant vest underneath a coat or something if it's real cold. And then because it's very much all about the venting. Because no matter what, there are times where you're going to get hotter and you're going to get cooler. And so, like, today, I would take off at a solid speed. I would work up a sweat a bit, and I was getting pretty warm. Well, then as soon as I stopped to wait on you guys, all of my layers went open. And so I was just releasing all of that. But, like, when I'm riding, a lot of times I'll unzip my vest underneath my coat because just that difference in not having that second layer of wind resistance is enough to cool you a little bit more.
Okay.
And, like, my coat and most of my stuff is all vented across the whole back. Like, my coat is completely vented on the back. It's only wind resistant on the front. So that way, you're constantly venting yourself. And so then when you unzip that coat, then it blows straight through and straight through that back area and dries you off quickly.
Cool. Thank you. Let's see, we talked socks. We haven't talked gloves. So the first thing is mittens. Yeah, so gloves are also great, but there's a nice factor with mittens is that because then your hands are touching each other, they can help keep each other warm.
Absolutely. The more that your fingers can touch with each other, you're going to have more possibility of keeping circulation going, keeping your fingers warm.
On our negative 11 degree day here, a couple days ago, we went for a ride and... Kayla and I went for a ride, and I had my normal work gloves. They're very watery and wind resistant, but they're separate gloves, and they're good until about 10 degrees, and then they get real poor. And so we stopped halfway through our ride at the bike shop, and she's like, "I'm just gonna buy you a pair of gloves for Christmas. Here you go." And so she brought me those gloves. They're the little
the lobster gloves.
Yeah. And I was kind of doing that with my gloves, just kind of like pairing up my fingers and. So I had a couple loose, floppy fingers in the glove and actual paired-up fingers. Got those, and man, it worked. World of difference. Just little brother fingers working together. together. So I don't know if I could go full mitten on those, but yeah, those are good.
I agree.
For riding, I don't think... I've tried full mitten, but you have so much better dexterity when you've got fingers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So by lobster gloves, you mean your first finger and your second finger are together and your pinky and your ring finger are together.
Yeah, my pointy and my middle are together and then they're brother fingers and then my ring and my pinky are brother fingers and the thumb is on its own. It's very Vulcan-like. So yeah. Live long and prosper, everybody.
It's really good to also listen to a variety of different opinions on clothing options because not everybody is built the same by any means. Kelsey and I are real good examples of that. She... will sit at room temperature and her hands are like ice. and me, I will be out. We have, it's a windproof covering called a Pogie, except I have a Pogie Light, which is made by Bike Iowa. It's just one layer of wind-resistant, water-resistant material around your hand, but I'll wear summer fingerless gloves down to about 12 degrees or so.
Wow.
And just that in those. And, like, a lot of times, like, I've had winter races to where I'm single-digit temperatures in winter race, and I'll be racing just in those fingerless gloves because my hands have already gotten too hot just in the Pogie Lights. Mm-hmm. But I used to wear gloves a lot of times, and my hands will sweat in just about any gloves. So yeah, that was the answer for me, because they're very versatile, because you can kind of peel them back a little bit and get some airflow on your hands so they don't get all sweaty all the time. Because that's the real issue, no matter if you're talking about your hands, your feet, your body. If you get sweaty, if you get that moisture in there, you will get cold.
And you get snow in your Pogie and get your glove also.
Oh no.
I did that today.
Oh no.
Thankfully, I had a second set of gloves and my fingers are nice and toasty.
Very smart. Yeah, backups are key.
They are.
I keep a backup gloves, balaclava, and a backup shirt, just like a normal long sleeve shirt, just so I have something that's dry.
That's the big key, is being dry.
Oh, and especially in wintertime when you may get out there and you may end up having some mechanical or something and you're a few mile walk from home. So you may have been warm while you were riding and producing that heat. But as soon as you're stopped and just walking, then all of a sudden you get chilled. So it's nice to have that extra layer that you can throw on.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Oh, and we've talked about Pogies on the podcast before, but just to make sure, a Pogie actually connects to your handlebars and then you go into it. So it's like a big shell? Open shell on each handlebar that you can bring your hands into. And they're pretty great.
And there are all kinds of different styles.
Mm-hmm.
Big, thick ones that can go clear up to your elbow. Like Cole mentioned, he and I both have Pogie Lights that are really tiny and fold up well and can stick in your pocket.
Yeah, both Brian and I have massive ones. They're not probably quite up to the elbow, but
yeah,
they're up nice. They're up to my elbow. Depends on whose elbow.
Yeah, those a lot of people like won't wear anything underneath. Like you were saying, just gloves. Like up until we have one buddy who I think 10 degrees or greater, he just has his hands in there.
Mm-hmm. On his back. I can't even imagine using some of the thicker Pogies. Like I would,
yeah.
I wouldn't need those for anything except like 20 below and under.
Yeah,
and they're nice. They have like that extra, because you have all that heat generated, it like kind of goes up my coat sleeves, which I like.
That is kind of nice.
No, it's the Pogie Lights are really nice because they have a drawstring.
Oh, on I saw the that on Kelsey.
And so they're extremely versatile because of that, because if you actually cinch that down a little bit on your wrist, it generates 3 times as much heat as normal.
Nice.
It's really wild. It just traps it all in there. And then it's also kind of nice because if you do get a little warm, you can pull your hands out, cool them off a bit, and then it actually holds that heat inside of there enough to where when you put your hands back in, there it's already nice and warm in there.
So like the gloves that I wore today initially when we were riding, if I had been outside just walking around today, they would have been too light and my fingers would have gotten cold. But the fact that I had those and my Pogies, my fingers were toasty.
Yay. What other warm body parts do we need to address?
You want to talk about boots?
Sure.
So I know that Cole was talking about socks. Kaylin also gave me a nice pair of Smart Wool brand socks, and they're great. And generally only wear those, and then I have my normal, I have my army boots, I'll just wear those because they're water resistant and they're warm and they're good. I know they're broken in because I've done all sorts of stuff with them.
A few miles in those?
Yeah, just a couple. Yeah. Yeah. And then when it's really cold, I'll have a pair of those like athletic socks underneath as a base layer, and then my big Smart Wool socks. Yeah, and then if it gets really cold, we'll throw some of those toe warmers in there. Mm-hmm. For twofold, one, it like is an extra layer of wind blockage because it's that little package on top of your toes, and then a little extra heat as well. So, because cold feet is probably just as bad as cold hands. Because if you can't feel your feet when you're pedaling, then, you know, if you fall over, are you going to feel the ground with your cold, stumpy icicle legs? So that Caitlin, like she talked about in her fancy new gift from Christmas, her boots are very nice, waterproof, and they have the quick drawstring and all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah, they get nice and tight. So they're nice and secure around my foot. Mm-hmm. But I think the big thing there is you want something that has that wind and water resistance, so that's not blowing against your feet.
Definitely.
And those natural fibers are so good at doing what they're supposed to do and keeping your feet warm.
And they're antimicrobial, so you don't have to wash them as much. And
they don't smell very often. You got to do a lot to make wool smell.
Yeah, I just throw them inside out, and I either like hang them up, or I have like a boot dryer thing, and I throw them on that if they are gross, if they are sweaty. But yeah. For my head, like I use a snowboarding helmet. There's also like winter bike helmets. I'd say it's one of those where I want a little less venting on my head. But it just kind of depends, I think, where someone's at. I think even just with a hat without vents in it and a balaclava, I'm usually good, like, to really, really cold. But that's just me.
Yeah, like me today, I just had my smart wool hat and a completely vented normal helmet. Yeah. And I was still sweating, so.
Yeah.
Nice.
They had a similar setup, yeah.
I was in the exact same setup as Cole, and I was sweating.
So I tend to be the coldest one, I guess, on my head. I do layer a lot. I don't know, are there any other clothing tips that we want
goggles.
To add? Goggles. Oh, yeah.
I definitely can talk about goggles, because I did get a bike stash enhancement of new goggles for Christmas.
And they're so cute. They're like this fun fuchsia-y pink, and they're like the lens is like rainbow.
He definitely picked out, Cole got them for me. He definitely picked out the best ones he could have.
They're super fun.
They even matched your smart wool hat.
They do. Like pretty well. Yeah, which he also got me, so.
Yay! What a guy. That's awesome.
Yeah, Caitlin had goggles a while ago, and I always thought they were silly, and then it started getting even just a little bit colder out, and I would ride, and, like, my eyes would water up, and I couldn't, like, focus my eyes, like, my vision would, like, be jumpy, and then I was like, all right, I'm gonna get a pair of goggles, and then all of a sudden it's like, my eyes are warm, and I can see where I'm going, this is amazing. It's like having a little windshield on my face.
I just always thought that was part of the fun of it, not being able to see where you're going and just praying and hoping.
Part of the fun. Need to be all the fun.
Sometimes it works out, sometimes. Yeah.
And Caitlin made a cowl for herself, so she has protect your neck. I think 30 Rock said that. Protect your neck. So.
It actually does make a big difference in the wintertime sometimes. I've noticed that myself as... if I can stand my neck being cold, it doesn't bother me, but it also, I've noticed that it'll affect how much I can breathe even. Mm-hmm. It's surprising in just like that one layer. Like I usually just, if it's super cold, I'll wear a buff and it's just that thin layer, but it just blocks the wind just enough to keep it warm.
I definitely find that with the colder air, it's harder to breathe. And while I don't necessarily like wearing something over my nose while I'm riding and trying to breathe, getting that slightly warmer air coming through a light buff or something over your nose makes a world of difference.
Yeah, it does actually make a huge difference, especially on the ultra cold. Like if you're 10 degrees to 20 degrees to 30 degrees isn't a huge deal, but as soon as you start going below zero, 5, 10 degrees below zero, it is just amazing the difference. When I was working outside all the time, that was also the thing. Is like there was a line. It's just the same as I always feel that there's a line when it gets so hot. Like I lived in the desert for a while. Like anything over 107 degrees, it doesn't matter that it's a dry heat. It's just not fun. Same thing with negative temperatures. Like, as soon as you get down to that certain degree, it has almost a panic-inducing feel at some points, you know, where it's like, I'm in trouble really quickly.
Something. It definitely feels like a lot of little layers, whether it's on your head, your hands, your feet, your body, is way better than one giant thick layer. So, like, if you have one thick coat, if that's all you got, okay. But if you have two little jackets, that's going to be way better than those thick stuff.
Mm-hmm. Much more versatile.
Yeah, much more versatile. You can also take, like, I'm hot. I take one off, I can put one back on. So if you don't have a thick, a thick-ass jacket, I don't know a better way of saying it.
Yeah, and you can vent things easier, too.
Yeah.
Yes. You have multiple layers.
Layers, layers, layers are key.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Well, something else that I think is kind of, it's always important, but I think it's important in winter riding, too, is lights. Like, it's darker, surprisingly faster and earlier. Even, I don't know, we left the other day at, like, 3, and we packed lights and we used them. So, you don't need to go crazy on, like, super fancy lights, but you want something that's going to be reliable so people can see you, and then, ideally, so you can also see, because it gets dark.
And the thing with lights, too, especially in cold weather, if you're going to be out a long time, your battery may not last as long. Some batteries are fantastic. Some lights are great and are going to last just as long, but sometimes that is something to be aware of.
It is rare that a battery is good in the cold. I've struggled to find a front headlight that will actually last for a long time in the cold, and that's why I have my generator hub to where I'm powering the light no matter what, and so I'm the battery.
Those are awesome.
But, like, rear tail lights, as I was telling you guys earlier today, I was like, I love my Psycho light. I've had multiple different versions of them, but their Psycho Light Hotshot, they last forever. On the triple strobe light that I had on, I believe it's around 100 hours is what that lasts. Nice. And the cold doesn't barely affect them. Like, I've never had one die on me in the cold.
Nice.
Yeah, and my headlight on my fancier headlight, the battery pack is actually separate, and so I can put it somewhere to keep it warm. So that's an option, too. I think it's more ideal if the lights just can handle it. But
and the external battery, you can wrap it in, like, bubble wrap or something to...
Yeah.
Or styrofoam, not styrofoam, some other foam packaging to keep it warm.
And it lasts. Why don't you just knit something?
I probably could.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Oh, a little battery koozie? That's great.
next Cravel Knits pattern.
And then we just put these look like little party lights that we have with our fat bikes. And so we on our our wheel hubs put little party lights in there. So you can definitely see us. They strobe different colors. They're like red, blue, green, all the sort of things. And they flash at different speeds. So they look fun, but they're also very visible. You can definitely clearly see two circles are heading towards you. And it's like, oh, please don't hit those double circles.
That's a big thing when you're out there, especially at night. It's not only just having the lights or having the reflectivity, but it's having the moving parts with it on it. Mm-hmm. Like, I put reflective tape on my shoes.
Oh, okay.
So you'll see my shoes. If you see the back of my helmet, I have reflective squares all over the back of my helmet. Mm-hmm. So, like, you can actually recognize that it's a person moving rather than just some object on the side of the road.
There's a deer coming. No, that's nope. A person. Either way, don't hit it.
What other winter things are we thinking that are important?
We just put duds in our tires, so... last year, I didn't have studs in my tires. I just went au naturel, and that was fine. I was just a lot slower than everyone else, a lot more timid. But this year, I have stud-ready tires, so we put the little adapter in there and start putting studs in there, and it's helped quite a bit. I've fallen a third of the times that I have. Still fall, but that's because balance, not because tires. And then Keelan also has, like, tires that she swaps out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, studs are fun, especially if you're in icier climates.
Yeah, if you want to go biking on a lake or down the river or the stream by us.
I just finally got a set of stud tires. I haven't put them on yet.
That's exciting.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for ice season, which is like January, February.
Yeah.
But like really...
Denman's just becomes ice.
Denman's gets a little bit bad because it ends up being... It's a single track mountain bike area, and so it ends up being almost a little mini luge, basically. And so a lot of times it gets a little hairy when... especially if you have a freeze-thaw and a freeze-thaw and a freeze-thaw over and over again. But a lot of times it's not too bad. And even then, if it does get like that, if you get a good snow, it'll compact over the top of it and end up being decent again. Mm-hmm. But there was definitely a handful of times last year where I was like, I would like studs on my tires.
Well, that seems to be one of the fewer places that you want them. Denman's tends to get very well traveled.
That actually brings up another thing. Air pressure. Air pressure in your tires is very important in the wintertime. It varies greatly because a lot of us are on fat bikes. And so if I was going for a gravel ride or a road ride or something, I might put 15 PSI in my tires. But if I'm going out onto... like what we did today, I probably had 7 or so. And then if it's really fluffy, squishy, fresh, powdery snow, I've been all the way down to like 1 or 2 PSI. Mm-hmm. So what that does is it spreads that traction pattern from your tire over a greater area, significantly greater area. It's kind of cool when they do the they'll do a rollover test and show the difference in the amount of area your tire has for each PSI. Mm-hmm. And it is massively different. And
interesting.
It gives you so much more traction. It's amazing the difference. That was what Kelsey actually experienced a little bit. She had a little too much pressure for a while today.
I started our ride out with a little too much pressure, which was causing the bike to be a little bit squirrely and side to side a little bit too much. And when you hit things, it's not quite as easy to roll over. You bounce more than you roll. And so I let some air pressure out. And unfortunately, took out too much. So then I was on the opposite side, and it was a nice little workout, but it was still fun.
You were solid.
Oh, man.
You were solidly solid on the ground.
Yes, solidly on the ground. So it's definitely compressing those tires and getting some good traction with them. And it was definitely, I had more control, that's for sure. But I definitely took out too much.
Well, and that was what you had in there was about what I was running yesterday when I was going through the fresh stuff.
Right.
And that was good because it had enough area that it was causing me to be able to float over the fresh stuff while I beat in the trail.
Well, I could notice, like, if I was off the broken-in trail, if I was on the side, it was great. But if I was on the broken-in trail or if I was out on the concrete, no.
It feels like there's two different ways of testing that pressure. You can have that PSI tester, like, what is my actual PSI? Or the old squishy test, like you squeeze the sides of the tire. How far is it going in? Is it not going in at all? Okay, it's probably 20, 30 PSI. Is it going a little bit? Okay, it's probably 10. If it's going in a lot bit, either have a flat tire or you're down to single digits. So.
Well, and that's, they say, if they're grooming the trails for the wintertime, what they want you to be running is to where when you sit on the bike, you see a few wrinkles in the sidewall of your tire. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you should be running.
Oh, my flat tire the other day, I shouldn't have changed. It was perfect.
It's perfect.
I had a flat tire, my back tire. And apparently, it was winter ready.
May have been.
Until you get down to the rim, and then it, yeah. It might be a little problematic for your bike.
Just so much surface area.
Oh, and that's when they do prep those in the winter time. It's... like Denman's, you have a lot of people that ride mountain bikes with a little skinnier tire all winter time. Well, they'll still have issues breaking through what they've groomed. Mm-hmm. But when you have that fat bike tire, it just sits on top.
Yeah, I like floating.
definitely is helpful.
Let's see, we got lights, we got clothes, we got tire pressure, we've got studs. What else do we need?
A good partner to go. That's I'd recommend don't go by yourself. You can, but sometimes it's better to go with someone else, just because Cole and I were, took a little bit side adventure today after the girls left. We went on a less maintained trail, and I think we both ate it pretty hard. I know I ate it at least twice within 10 feet of each other, and then he said he did once, and so we were like, we're good, let's head home. And so I would say go with a partner to at least check on someone. So if, let's say, you have a catastrophic fall and your shoulder pops out, not what happens, but or something breaks on your bike, you have someone to be there to help you out, or call for help, or, you know, whatever the case may be, whether it's severity 0 or severity 10, you have someone. I'd say go with a partner. It's always fun to go with a friend too, or even a spouse is pretty fun too.
Sure is.
I don't know. Mine's okay.
That's fair.
And if you are going alone, make sure someone knows you're out there.
And if you are alone, ID might not be a bad thing to have in some form, whether it's on your phone or on you.
Yeah, I rarely cycle without. It's generally only if I have totally forgotten my ID or something. At least if I'm on the road somewhere, somebody can tell the needed parties.
Yeah.
And Strava, the biking app, has a fun little feature called Beacon. So it'll tell you in real time where that person is and what their speed is and everything else. And so you can see if something goes wrong, there's a emergency or help feature. So Strava Beacon is a great thing. It's way more accurate than even Find My Friends or anything like that, where it gives you the general location. It is a very specific where they are, how fast they're going, and what's happening.
We have the same thing with our GPS units.
Nice.
You can share your location with those too.
Nice. And have snacks. I mean, no one ever talks about that. You still need snacks in the winter.
It's true. Snacks, you do water. Need snacks.
Yeah, snacks and water.
Oh, yeah. Insulated water bottles are nice.
They are.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. How many times?
And then I put some warm water in it. And still, like, 10 or below, it's going to freeze eventually, but I have water a little longer.
There are some people who will put some vodka in their bottle to bring down the...
That's a good idea.
I've found that it takes too much vodka that it just doesn't... You might as well just be drinking the vodka at that point. It wasn't...
Okay. So just put vodka in my bottle, period.
Yeah.
Okay.
How's your ride?
Amazing!
Or insulated water bottle, like very, like double seal, vacuum seal water bottle. Because like this, it'll be 10 below and it will not freeze.
Nice.
They are very handy. And then you can actually put like hot chocolate in them too.
Yummy.
I've done that before and it was very handy.
You have some friends that do, oh my gosh, the camelbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll wear them underneath their layers. So as long as the tube doesn't freeze, they've got water too. I'm
trying to remember. I just heard it. You have to basically open the valve on the mouthpiece. So you have to basically open it up to where it sucks the water out of the tube again. But there's a way that you can do that to where after you've taken a drink, you do something to where it basically breaks that pressure and it'll let that return in, so then it won't freeze up in there as much. They also have insulated tubes for them too.
Nice. Cool. That's good information. Thank you. Anything else that we can think of or anything we want to talk about? Get out there. So. Have fun. You'd be surprised on how much snow or even ice that you can bike over.
Don't be afraid of the cold.
Yeah, don't be afraid of the
cold. Like we said, layers, and it doesn't have to be expensive. You can ride in what you have.
And you'll hear so many people say, man, you guys are crazy biking out there. It's fine. I'm actually like it more in the single digit rides than I do in the 34 degree.
The weird zone.
Yeah. Where it's like, I don't have enough layers, but I almost have too many layers. When it's really, really cold, it's great. When it's really warm, it's great. Yeah. So don't let other people sway you.
Yeah, there's a elementary school in Norway where 95% of the elementary school kids bike every day.
Wow.
And it snows like all the time.
I got in trouble when I was, well, didn't get in trouble, but my mom definitely had some of the other moms kind of like frowning on her because she was letting me ride my bike to school and it was about a mile and a half or something. Mm-hmm. But I rode it through elementary all the way into high school. I'd ride it through all conditions, but a lot of times in the winter time, because I'm so warm-blooded, I would be in shorts and a huge coat. And so then she would hear it from some of the other moms. You let him ride in that? I don't know. He's fine.
Yeah.
Then became the rule of it has to be a high of 50 degrees or above for me to wear shorts.
That's fair. I have the thinnest pants on.
Just wearing nylons.
Hilarious. They're called leggings, thank you.
Well, yeah. I think that's what I got then. Thank you so much for joining us, guys.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Drinking some beverages and talking bikes and riding bikes, and it's been a nice afternoon.
So with that,
knit all
the things.
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and on Tapped as Gravel Knits. Our website is gravelknits.com. You can email us at gravelknits@gmail.com. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/gravelknits.
You can find me, Kelsey, on Ravelry and Instagram as Bikes Spurs Use, and on Tapped as Kelsey J.
And you can find me, Caitlin, on Ravelry and Instagram as Caitlin N. Lloyd. And I also have a second Instagram, Caitlin N. Lloyd Knits and Bikes, that is just knitting and biking. Please let us know what you'd like us to talk about. And we love to hear what you think of the show. If you like the podcast, please share it with a friend.
Gravel Knits believes everyone deserves to be included and loved, regardless of who you love, beliefs, color, size, your gender, or whatever else makes you you. Please keep in mind that we are human. And while we're trying to educate ourselves, there is always more to learn, and any critiques are deeply appreciated.